Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family. A time to open the Bible and see what God has to say to us through His Word. Fallen from grace. What do these words mean? Is it something like falling out of a tree? No, it's something much more serious. The Apostle Paul uses these words in writing to the Galatians in our study. We know this is a controversial matter, but we ask you to open your Bible and consider these verses with us. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 2. Just before we read those verses, we want you to know that we're glad to be able to study the Bible together with you in this way. Many are interested in Bible study these days. We're happy to be able to offer over 75 correspondence courses to you. Write to us after the program. We may have just the course you've been looking for. Our address is given at the close of each broadcast. Now let's read Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 2 and reading through verse 4. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. Galatians chapter 5, 2 through 4. Paul has been showing the Galatians how foolish it is to abandon liberty for slavery. And now his tone changes, for he's about to show that it is positively sinful for a believer to resort to the law at all. Legalism makes Christ of no value, he tells them. The Judaizers insisted on the necessity of Gentile believers being circumcised for salvation. Paul, speaking with the authority of an apostle, insists that to depend on circumcision is to make Christ of no benefit. Legalism requires everyone to keep the whole law. People under law cannot accept the easy commandments and reject the others. If a person attempts to please God by being circumcised, then he is under obligation to keep the whole law. Thus a person is entirely under law or not under law at all. Obviously, if he is entirely under law, Christ is valueless to him. The Lord is not only a complete Savior, but he is an exclusive one. Let me repeat that. The Lord is not only a complete Savior, but he is an exclusive one. Legalism means the abandonment of Christ as one's only hope of righteousness. Now let's read again verse 4. This is Galatians 5, verse 4. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. Many hold that Paul here teaches that it is possible for a person to be truly saved than to fall into sin, and therefore fall from grace, and be forever lost. We believe that such an interpretation is unsound for two compelling reasons. First, the verse does not describe saved persons who fall into sin. In fact, there is no mention of falling into sin. Rather, the verse is speaking of those who are living moral, respectable, upright lives, and hope to be saved thereby. But the Bible always insists that all who seek to be justified by works of law or self-effort are fallen from grace. Second, this interpretation contradicts the overall consistent testimony of the New Testament to the effect that every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is eternally saved, that no sheep of Christ will ever perish, and that salvation depends entirely on the finished work of Christ and not on man's feeble efforts. We believe that Paul is here speaking of people who might profess to be Christians, but who are not truly saved. They are seeking to be justified by keeping the law. Paul is telling them that they cannot have two saviors. They must choose either Christ or the law. If they choose the law, then they are severed from Christ as their only possible hope of righteousness. They have fallen from grace. Christ must be everything or nothing to a person. No limited trust or divided allegiance is acceptable to him. The man who is justified by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is a Christian. The man who seeks to be justified by the works of the law is not. We ask you to ponder this important matter as we pause for some quiet music. Inscription on the Statue of Liberty reads, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." The book of Galatians that we're studying is something like a torch, like a lamp, showing the way out of the slavery of the law of legalism, and pointing us to liberty in Christ. Now Galatians 5, verse 9. As Paul continues his warnings, Galatians 5, 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. Legalism leads to more and more evil. Leaven, in Scripture, is a common symbol for evil. The natural tendency of leaven or yeast is to affect all the meal with which it comes in contact. Here he is teaching that a little error must inevitably lead to more. Evil is never static. It must defend its lies by adding more lies. Legalism is like garlic. There is no such thing as a little of it. Now the next verse, Galatians 5, verse 10. "I have confidence in you in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is." That was Galatians 5, verse 10. Legalism brings judgment on its teachers. The Apostle Paul was confident that the Galatians would reject the false teachings. As for the false teachers themselves, they would be punished by God. It is a serious thing to teach error and to wreck a church. It is a much worse thing, for instance, to teach that drunkenness is permissible than to be an alcoholic yourself. For the false teacher, makes hundreds of others like himself. Now let's go on to verse 13. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The gospel of grace has always been accused of permitting people to live as they like. They say, if salvation is by faith alone, then there is no control over a person's conduct afterwards. But Paul is quick to point out that Christian liberty does not mean license to sin. The believer's standard is the life of the Lord Jesus, and the love for Christ impels him to hate sin and love holiness. Perhaps it was especially necessary for Paul to warn his readers against license here. When men have been under the restraints of law for some time and are then granted their freedom, there's always a danger of going from the extreme bondage to that of carelessness. The proper balance is that liberty which lies between law and license. The Christian is free from the law, but not lawless. Let me repeat that. The Christian is free from the law, but not lawless. Christian liberty does not permit sin. It rather encourages loving service. Love is seen as the motive of all Christian behavior. Under the law, the motive is the fear of punishment. The key word here is love. Through love, serve one another, we just read. The Christian's freedom is in Christ Jesus. We learned that earlier in this letter to the Galatians. This excludes any possible thought that it might ever mean freedom to sin. We must never turn our freedom into a base of operations for the flesh, just as an invading army will seek to gain a beachhead and use it as a base of operations for further conquest, so the flesh will utilize a little license to expand its territory. A.T. Pearson said, "True freedom is found only in obedience to proper restraint. A river finds liberty to flow only between banks. Without these, it would only spread out into a slimy, stagnant pool. Planets, uncontrolled by law, would only bring wreck to themselves and to the universe. Our law is the law of love, and not the law of legalism." We dealt with a very important subject on this program. We know many today are still struggling with legalism. The thou shalts and the thou shalt nots. If you still have questions, please send them to us. Also, we would be glad to send you information on this correspondence course on Galatians if you write to us. Our address will be given in a few moments. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.